Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. You would have been thought insane, or alarmist, or a demagogue, a fearmonger, 10 years ago had you suggested that in, let's say, 2019, 2020, there would be public elementary schools that were pushing, actively pushing, against the parents' objections, and sometimes those parents' objections being muted by public pressure from society, pushing the LGBTQ agenda on kindergartners. You'd say that's not going to happen. We have more sense than that, but we don't. In Colorado, there's an elementary school that has been doing just that. We're going to talk about it for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. Joining us to do so on this Tuesday afternoon, Helen Raleigh. She's a senior contributor to The Federalist, immigration policy fellow at the Centennial Institute in Colorado, author of a recent column titled Overparent Objections: Public School Teaches Six-Year-Olds About Transgender Ravens and Gender Fluidity. Helen, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Pat.
What is being taught about gender at Superior Elementary School in Colorado?
Well, so at least most recently, what's been taught is the school showed the children from kindergarten to fifth grade videos from queer kid stuff and to teach them about gender fluidity, and also all kids have to watch a musical that is about a transgender raven performed by a transgender group. And there were disputes about what the parents can or cannot opt out from it. And so it gets really complicated.
How did the promotion of the LGBTQ agenda start at this elementary school?
Well, it seems, based on my research, that the school located in the Superior Elementary School, which I wrote about, is located near Boulder. In Boulder is the home for University of Colorado in Boulder. And University of Colorado in Boulder has this program, basically teaches, try to spread queer education into public schools. And the school district received about $19,000 funding from this special program that to spread a queer curriculum to children. And so these videos and the musical was part of the school's annual celebration of the Transgender Week.
So tell us more about the YouTube channel that was in part promoted by the school district in a newsletter to parents called Queer Kids Stuff.
Yeah, so I have a link in my piece that for anybody interested, I want to check this one out. So basically, this based on what they said itself from the YouTube channels, this channel is basically, their goal is to provide LGBTQ education webinars for children age 3 and older. And you can see from the videos that it's mainly hosted by a queer lady. Her name is Lindsay, and her supposedly non-binary best staffed friend, Teddy. And so many of those videos are conversations between Teddy and Lindsay. And throughout the conversations, they will talk about, gender pronouns and what you feel inside is more important about what your biological outside, you know, things like that. And some of the videos also targeted to adults, like how to be queer parents or how to be parents for queer children. And then they even have something I listed in my piece that also talk about like drag queen makeup transformation or unicorns are queer horses and stuff. Just basically what they are doing is they try to normalizing and teaching targeted to kids from very young by using teddy bear conversation and the songs and music to try to say, you know, everything's acceptable.
So how did some parents react to the promotion of these videos?
So the promotional video really was like a Friday evening news dump. So it came to the Friday evening right before the 1 week before Thanksgiving, before the school closed for Thanksgiving break. So most parents initially didn't even notice. And it came via an email, save the date email, and the school did provide the links to those videos. But most parents, you know, because of holiday, most parents did not notice until after the holidays, some parents clicked those links and they were shocked, basically. So some of them objected to the school, and then the local CBS News 4 heard about it and did an interview. And then the school, even though the school insists these are necessary to promote diversity and inclusion, but the school did, after that, the school made an offer to let the parents opt out their children from the musical. But the parents thought if they opt their children out of the musical, they will also opt out the videos, which was turned out not to be true. So the many children who went to school that day still had to watch the video. They were just opt out of the musical portion.
So there was no attempt to see to it that the children who did attend, that actually went to school that day, were allowed to engage in some other activity opting out of watching the videos and the musical performance.
Right, and that's what many parents are really upset. So 30% of the parents actually kept their children at home, did not send them to school that day. But for the parents who sent their school to that day, but they thought they opted out, because the opt-out was not very clear. The opt-out came out as, normally the opt-out process is the kids will take a opt-out form, actual physical form back home. The parents can fill it out, say what they want the kids to opt out. But in this case, the school just sent an email basically saying, you know, if you want to opt out the musical portion, you can, you know, send the superintendent an email. So many parents mistakenly thought if they opt out of the musical, they also opt out of the videos. You know, because if the parents have objection to the musical, they obviously have objection to the videos as well. And so their understanding was if they send their kids to school that day, the kids will not see the video, would not see the musical, but they will stay in the classroom doing something else. But it turns out, based on my interview with some of the parents who actually showed up at school, that the kids who opted out of the musical were still forced to see the video and then actually do role play, you know, talk about how they feel inside versus what's their gender role, you know, biologically.
And just remind us, what ages of children are we talking about here, Helen?
Very young children. This is elementary school, so it started from kindergarten to fifth grade. So we're talking about a 5-6-year-old, like the youngest.
What else did concerned parents discover about what had been going on at Superior Elementary School?
So they obviously discovered that this is not a first-time effort, and this is an ongoing effort. And they also discovered that this effort was funded by the University of Colorado Boulder's Special Career Eye Program. And the teachers in this elementary school actually attended a training on how to make the curriculum more queer-oriented. So the parents understand this is an ongoing effort. And also, many parents are really scared to speak out because, as you probably can understand, anytime you speak out about those issues, you immediately will be labeled. No matter how reasonable your objections are, you will immediately be labeled as a transphobe or, you know, things like that. So many parents are afraid to speak out, but there are three parents. That's how I got a wind of this story. There are three parents who, brave enough, had enough courage to speak out and they are filed a complaint to the school district based on the school district its own rules, because in the state school district, it said in the rule books very specifically that the school must, when it teaches sexual specific information, they must inform the parents first. They must have the parent-teacher committee to review the material first, and they must give explicit opt-out options to parents. So that's what the parents complain about, that they did not receive, they didn't have a chance to review the material in advance before the school sent out the save the date. They didn't get a chance to get enough time and the very clear opt-out options. But the school comeback was that gender education is different from a sexual, human sexuality education. So therefore, and their gender fluidity targeted education doesn't fall under the rules for human sexuality education. Therefore, they do not, the school is not obligated to have parents review the material or have explicit opt-out options. So that's where the dispute is right now. And the parents and the school district will go on another hearing. Actually, it's today. They're going to have another hearing about addressing the parents' complaint.
So the Boulder Valley School District actually argued that their own policies did not kick in here because the things being taught about gender fluidity and the LGBTQ ideology were not sexual in nature?
Yes. And that's the argument that has been used for Colorado state legislature, which is dominated by Democrats. That's the same argument they used to push this comprehensive sex ed education reform bill for public schools. That's the same argument they use, and that's the same argument that in California public schools have used when they push for their own versions of comprehensive sex ed, because they're arguing, you know, when we talk about gender, that's different from human sexuality, so there should be limited options about for parents to opt out.
So tell us a little bit more about the bill you just mentioned, Colorado House Bill 1032.
Right. So this bill turns 32. It's called a Comprehensive Human Sexuality Education. And it basically will revamp what public schools are teaching the children on some very specific and troubling subject. For example, it has been going through several iterations in the state legislature now. So some language may be revised. But last version, you know, I read, for example, they will not teach absenteeism. But they will teach you about, you know, abortion, and they also will teach you about the sexual experiences of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender individuals. And they will limit any religious context when they are teaching those informations. And parents will have opt-out options, but again, it's very limited. So it seems like gender fluidity, which is not considered part of a human sexuality education, are not subject to the opt-out rules. So the parents will have limited options to opt their children out.
How likely is it for House Bill 1032 to become a law in Colorado?
Oh, it's very likely, because in Colorado last year, we experienced a blue tsunami. Basically, the governorship, the Senate, and the House were all swept by the Democrats. So we have a Democrat governor, we have a Democrat majority in the Senate, Democrat majority in the House. So this is one of those sweeping, changing bills that is very likely to pass. And the governor's already said, you know, he's going to sign it.
If it does pass and become law in Colorado, does it mean that it potentially the same thing that happened there in the Boulder Valley School District could happen in every school district in the state of Colorado?
Absolutely. And I think that's the goal. That's the goal for the left, is to push something that traditionally was, you know, it has been parents' role to teach such information to their children. Now, the left want to take over this and to indoctrinate the children from very young to what they think is the right norm, what they think is acceptable. So that's really troubling. And also it's troubling is the fact that so many parents who are against it are so scared to speak out, you know, which is really oxymoron, because that the people who push this kind of education said that they're promoting for tolerance, for, you know, for diversity, inclusion, for tolerance, yet at the same time, they will not tolerate anybody who disagrees with them, even on reasonable ground. So that's why I say it's oxymoron to say, you know, how could you promote in the name of tolerance, yet you cannot tolerate that people who legitimately, based on whatever reasons, that disagree with you and have a good reasons not to have their children be part of this and have good reasons that they want to maintain a traditional parental role to teach their own kids how to deal with human sexuality. And, it's, you know, especially question comes to gender. And on top of all this, I mentioned in my piece that it's really confusing for kids so young to even begin to talk about things like this. You're really confusing them because scientifically, until kids hit puberty, they don't really have a strong sense of, you know, gender and human sexuality. When you try to push those information when they're so young, you're confusing them. And there are already reports showing that young kids thought, you know, being transgender is something trendy. And so they claim there's something, you know, another gender, even though they don't fully understand about it. But now, instead of pushing back, you know, the school or the parents would encourage that kind of behavior. And then the kids end up actually grow up, take medications and not be happy about it. And then, you know, the suicide rate, it is a really troubling trend.
Helen Raleigh is senior contributor to The Federalist. She's immigration policy fellow at the Centennial Institute in Colorado and author of a recent column titled Overparent Objections, Public School Teaches Six-Year-Olds About Transgender Ravens and Gender Fluidity. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Helen, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Up next on Issues Etc., we'll be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Hey, Todd. What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.